Welcome. You're listening to a series of four familial hypercholesterolemia podcasts brought to you by the American Heart Association and the FH Foundation. This series is focused on educating patients, caregivers, and healthcare providers on ways to improve awareness, detection of FH, and management of high cholesterol.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Maria Sophocles. I'm a board member of the FH Foundation, a practicing OBGYN, and the medical director of Women's Healthcare of Princeton in Princeton, New Jersey. I'm also a patient with FH. Joining me today is Dr. Larry Sperling. Larry is the founder and director of preventive cardiology at the Emory Clinic in Atlanta and an FH expert. Before we get started, I'd like to ask you, Larry, to tell our listeners briefly, what is familial hypercholesterolemia?
Yeah, thanks, Maria. Very glad to join you in speaking about this really important topic. So familial hypercholesterolemia, or FH, is a common but underdiagnosed genetic disorder that causes a very high bad cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, from birth, and puts individuals at high risk for early heart disease. As I mentioned, it is common, but it's underdiagnosed. About one in every 220 people have FH worldwide, but over 90% with FH in the U.S. are not adequately diagnosed. So that makes about 1.3 million people in this country with FH. And so many people may know they have high cholesterol, and they may know they have a family of early heart disease, but not connected these dots. And so it's important to know that the high cholesterol, if it's genetic, this is a disorder we call FH, or familial hypercholesterolemia.
So as an OBGYN, I take care of women, and I want to know, to be able to tell our listeners, what do women need to know about familial hypercholesterolemia? How is it different for women?
Yeah, so FH in women is an equally powerful risk factor. So there's no gender difference. If you have a very high cholesterol from birth, this predisposes you to heart disease, often at an early point in time.
So I tell women with that the estrogen in their bodies protects them from the onset of heart disease and delays heart disease and atherosclerosis. Do women with FH have that same protection?
Yeah, unfortunately, if you have a genetically high cholesterol, you lose the protection of being a woman. And so compared to other women, you're at risk for earlier heart disease. And then even if you have no other risk factors, if you're otherwise healthy, this single risk factor of a genetically high cholesterol predisposes you to heart and vascular disease. So I look at it as, you know, losing the protection of being female.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of studies have been done about women with FH, and what does that data show us?
Yeah, so it's important to know that we're learning more about those with FH. At Emory, we're one of the sites for the National Cascade FH Registry, and here we're learning about individuals living with FH within the United States. And what we know so far is that women do have a delayed onset of heart disease compared to men, but compared to other women, this heart onset of heart disease is much earlier. We know that women are less likely to reach their goal cholesterol, even on medical therapy. They're less likely to be prescribed medications that we know can protect them from heart disease, like statins. And so we absolutely need to, you know, emphasize that women with this disorder need to be treated equally aggressively.
Very important. And they have to advocate for their symptoms. If they're in an emergency room or they go to a doctor and they have symptoms, or they have a family history that is suspicious with members having cardiac events early, they need to speak up. And I'd say this goes not only to their primary care, but to their OBGYNs as well.
Yeah, so I would agree. And I know you're an OBGYN, and that you have become a champion and advocate for women with FH. And what is it?
Well,
that
mostly because it's so underdiagnosed. I think it's shocking to me that something as common as diabetes is 90% underdiagnosed and not diagnosed. So I think it behooves all clinicians to try to find it, but it's important for patients to think about it and speak up to their doctors. Larry, I have another question for you, though. As far as the treatments, is the efficacy of the treatments the same in men as it is in women with FH? Do the statins, for example, work equally effectively in men and women?
Yeah, the medications we use to lower cholesterol and protect or hopefully prevent people from developing heart problems or vascular problems in the first place are equally effective. So the statins, which are one of our mainstays, are equally effective in women as they are in men.
Well, that's good to know. What about, should we be advising women with FH just not to have children?
No, absolutely not. Women with FH can have children. But as I think I'm going to ask you a little bit, because you're the expert of guiding women through healthy pregnancies, I would not dissuade a woman from, embarking upon a pregnancy, but it would be important to be aware of the diagnosis of FH going into the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think a woman needs to know the FH status of the father. The father can easily, kind of spit in a vial or have a blood test and have genetic testing, which will tell the couple whether he has any gene defect, whether he has a single gene or a double, I call it a single dose or a double dose of the genetic defect. We call this in medicine heterozygous or homozygous. And certainly, depending on the status of the father, that can help the couple understand what is the likelihood that they'll have a child with any problem, or a single dose of the problem, or a severe problem. Patients also who are on statins, I ask them to stop the medication about 3 months before they plan to get pregnant. I don't think they should be on a statin during pregnancy. And if they are on a statin and get pregnant, that's okay, but they should stop the statin and get monitored. There have been studies in humans where they looked at 100 women on statins and they actually had no issues. But the party line as of today is that women should stop their statins during pregnancy and then resume after they finish breastfeeding if they choose to breastfeed.
Yeah, and I think there are medications that women who have FH can safely take during their pregnancy, in addition to following a healthy diet, keeping up with regular exercise. And we have a regimen that we use in terms of planning for a pregnancy, like you said, stopping the statins about 3 months before they become pregnant. And then we treat with what's called a bile acid binding resin or sequestrant during the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when breastfeeding is concluded, we can get women quickly back on the statins because we know we don't want to leave them unprotected for too long.
Right. But at least the bile acid sequestrants, they bind the cholesterol in the gut. They don't even go into the bloodstream. So they really are extremely safe. I've had pregnant women say, "Are you sure? Are you sure I should be taking something?" And I think we can safely tell them, in fact, we OBGYNs use these to treat gallbladder disease in pregnancy. So we're used to using these type of medicines for other issues in pregnancy. So it's absolutely safe.
Yeah, what about are complications more common in women with FH? Because I know you help care for a lot of these women.
Yeah, I mean, happily, I can happily say they're not. The only time we see complications is in a woman with FH who already has significant cardiovascular disease, especially aortic stenosis. And this is a patient, if you are an FH patient with significant cardiovascular disease, your pregnancy will be co-managed with the cardiologist and the obstetrician. And that's okay. It doesn't mean you can't get pregnant, but it means your cardiovascular function will probably be monitored during pregnancy. Otherwise, if you're an FH patient who's been diagnosed, you have heterozygous FH, your cholesterol's high, but you don't really have evidence of substantial atherosclerosis, you probably will have absolutely no complications at all during or after the pregnancy, as long as you just get back on your statins. So they've really looked at preterm labor and all kinds of things and never been consistently shown. So I'm happy to say it really can be a complication-free pregnancy.
And Maria, any specific advice you give your patients about contraception? Is there certain things that you help guide them with if they have FH regarding contraceptive therapies?
Well, combination birth control pill, the common good old birth control pill, contains estrogen and progesterone, and there is a very small risk of a progression of cardiovascular disease only because it tends to increase cholesterol. But if FH patients ask me about birth control options, they truly could take anything, and if their heart was set on the pill and it was really the only good option, they could take it. But I tend to steer them away from that. There's so many other good, long-acting, reversible options out there like IUDs. There's just no need to be on the pill. So technically, they can take anything, but I tend to try to avoid combination birth control pill and use anything else.
Right, and because familial hypercholesterolemia is a family disorder, I always look at this as an opportunity to not only focus on the very best care of the patient that we're caring for, but really extending that care to their family. And because women are, you know, caregivers across the board and mm-hmm. that's their general tendency, is there advice you give your patients about, you know, how to think about caring for their family? And then what about their children? Do you give advice, you know, beyond your patient?
Well, that's the amazing opportunity we as clinicians have, is that if we can uncover one patient, we can technically diagnose the whole family. So, yes, if I have a patient who comes to see me, whether she's pregnant or whether she's just getting well woman care, and we ascertain that she has FH, I want to know about her children. How old are they? Have they been checked? Actually, about her parents, her siblings, everyone. There are centers around the country, and the FH Foundation does a great job of connecting patients with these centers. But I say the earlier the better. I mean, what do you think, Larry? What age do you like to have the children tested?
Yeah, so it is very evident, even at an early age, which children have a genetic cholesterol problem. And so even at the age of 2, which would be the recommendation, for a child of an individual with FH, it's evident that their cholesterol as a 2-year-old compared to other 2-year-olds is, you know, on the very tail end of the distribution in a population. And so early awareness is the most important thing we can do for patients who have FH, because with early awareness comes being proactive about your care. And with early awareness comes early treatment, and with early treatment comes prevention.
But you said age 2. So if I want to have a young woman with her 2-year-old who's got FH and I ask her to go get the 2-year-old tested, what age can I expect to tell her that you'll be interested in treating that 2-year-old? You won't treat a 2-year-old,
yeah,
will
so
you?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The answer to that question is I would need to know a lot more about that family and that family's history, because sometimes if there's a very strong history of early heart disease, so I'm talking not in people's, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, but in their 20s, which, I mean, I do see patients with FH that have heart disease as a teenager or a 20-year-old. These are people that we, you know, we wouldn't want to wait till they are, quote, young adults, because at that point we would have missed that window of opportunity to treat over time, because this risk factor exerts risk over time. And we also can prevent the risk by treating overtime.
Okay, so certainly the message is early, and how early is going to depend on that particular patient's family history and maybe any other disease processes they have. I want to just get on my ranting pedestal for a minute and complain that women get underrepresented in scientific research, and this is so frustrating to me as a menopause specialist and a gynecologist. But I do think things are changing, and I can only hope that there'll be some more attention paid to the study of FH in women. You're closer to this than I am. What can we do to help women with FH get involved in research or promote research studies or something like that? What can we do, Larry?
Yeah, it is important that we learn more about women with FH and more about women in general and cardiovascular prevention. So there are clinical trials and observational studies like the Cascade FH registry that I mentioned, but we don't have enough research on high cholesterol in women, including women with FH. So I do think there are opportunities to become involved with research either through the FH registry or through clinical trial opportunities. And I know you've been involved also in some of the initiatives related to understanding more about the impact of high cholesterol, not only on the mother, but on the child.
Right. I mean, there's a long way to go, but I think we both agree that the key is to get more FH patients diagnosed so we can have more to enroll in these studies. For ongoing information on clinical trials and FH, you can visit the FH Foundation website. Currently, there are multiple studies on both the effects of high cholesterol as well as the effects of different therapies during pregnancy. If you're interested, check out the website mothertobaby.org for more information. And in case you missed any of what we discussed on this podcast, visit the FH Foundation at www.thefhfoundation.org and the American Heart Association at www.heart.org/cholesterol podcast. Thanks for listening, and keep your ears open for our next podcast about FH and children.
Views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the American Heart Association and American Stroke Association. For transcripts of this podcast and more information about cholesterol, please visit heart.org/cholesterol or engage with us via social media using the hashtag #UnderstandCholesterol.